have such a fun show planned for you today. Stick with us. We really do. Come on.
Hey, yeah.
We're working hard here. All right. So yesterday I shared that over the weekend I've been going through some archives. Mm-hmm. And these will be called plastic bins that are either underneath my steps or in my garage.
Love it.
And
love it.
I have saved, apparently I thought a lot about myself and have saved every single... Maybe I wasn't acknowledged enough as a child.
Yeah, because but I like it.
Because I have one press clipping of me in the Highland Villager when I was in sixth grade holding the police patrol flag at the corner of Saratoga and Grand when I went to Immaculate Heart of Mary. I had the new plastic lightweight long stick.
Oh,
but I
fantastic.
Was, I loved me. I loved putting on
you
that little
found
belt.
That clipping?
I have it.
I love it.
I have, so, great. And then all these old letters my mom saved and I'm coming across, yesterday we talked about a funny CJ column, and I heard from other people, you know, she wasn't liked by a lot of people around the Twin Cities. We're going to get to that later in Random Thoughts.
Yeah, but I loved reading that column.
Oh, it was hysterical yesterday. And if you missed it, they can catch it grand, I think, in our
Well, it was the first hour of the podcast yesterday, going into the top of the second hour, and then also I will be sure to include that one on this weekend's Best Of as well, so you'll be able to catch it there.
Yeah, so now I'm just going to give you another taste test. So this is an article that was written about, I think, Hubbard Radio.
Mm-hmm. What year?
It was in Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. First of all, the people who championed us early on, St. Paul Pioneer Press, Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine from the very beginning.
From the beginning, yeah.
Carol Levin.
Yes.
Our Channel 5 people and the Star Tribune. I mean, those people really... And Minnesota Monthly did our first billboard photo shoot.
Was that the caution tape?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it was for a story.
It was for a story, but we ended up buying the image and using it.
That's cool.
So we really... People...
Had your back.
The local media was
loved
very
us.
Good.
It was really Brian Lambert, and you know we were really just in Allison Kaplan. I can't go on, but here we go. So the first
what year is this?
This is 2005 September.
Okay,
so we've been on the air
a little over two years.
Okay, so the first part of the article is about KSTP AM 1500 with Ron Rosenbaum, and we loved Ron. And Ginny is talking about the power of radio and things like that. It's really lovely.
Yeah.
And then the second half, and we're in the center spread, and half of it is Lori, and the other half is me. And this is before Lori learned about blowouts, because wasn't in probably...
That's raw hair.
You didn't learn about that till like 2007, maybe?
Yeah.
So she had a lot of raw hair photos.
I had a lot of terrible photos.
You didn't know about the straightening and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's called... Two business women at work.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to the gist pretty quickly, but it just makes me laugh so much reading these. Okay. One sure indicator of the unlikely success of Lori Barghini and Julia Cobb's FM 107's hyper chatty drive time duo is their depth to which they've worked their way under the skin of their competitors. Oh. Billboards, magazine covers, and gossip columns. It's all too much. One rival program director, who will protect from himself, cries, "So what? What's the deal? I don't get it. Those two go to the bathroom and it's news. Get real. On a good day, they've got 5 listeners. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter."
Oh, geez.
And the column goes on, while in no danger of sinking a couple of lipstick-coated torpedoes into the hefty flank of KQRS's Tommy Bernard, the girls, their sister-in-laws, and then it tells it, blah, blah, blah. It's not by accident.
No.
We came up with it, blah, 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 blah. But then it goes on, Lori and Julia are no strangers to pricey cocktails, but in their deference to midday, we gather a frilly, tchotchke-filled coffee bar a couple of blocks. This is when we had the meeting. Of our studios. We're regulars, and the barista on duty, a 20-something woman, delighted in seeing them. A few days later, we went to Lulu and Luigi's for the interview, and the upscale pet, remember the upscale pet boutique?
Yes.
And then their honor act is equal parts broady, maternal, girlsy, ditzy, informed, uninformed, feisty. The canvas is supposed to be freedom and a little messy. That's part of the charm. But their long-suffering co-host producer, he'd only been with us for 2 years, and they called him that, after a week.
Right.
Long-suffering Donnie.
That's funny.
Michaels, a radio pro with an uncommonly quick wit, which he did have, mm-hmm. deserves major credit for keeping the two locomotives on track and mm-hmm. headed in the same direction. But I just loved that how we got under people's skin.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We were everywhere because, like I think I said yesterday, you know, they paid us so little that we negotiated if we did stuff and we were newsworthy. And I knew that we were newsworthy because we had been newsworthy with the nipples and everything. Yeah. That's how I knew that we could get people talking and paying attention.
This is just
our sparkling.
And it tells your age here, Lori.
Oh my God.
You were 46 and I was 42 at the time. And it goes on to say that emphatically, not radio vagabonds working mm-hmm. in their 12th market and upteenth format. Instead, they're what they are, namely reasonable, recognizable local characters. A couple of middle-aged gals with spouses. Who are determined to have some fun and adventure before it's all too late. Raise your hand if you know any women who can relate to this.
Yeah, every woman.
And then it just kind of goes on to, in addition to their business savvy, conversational talents, and wide enough array of interests, the women immodestly credit themselves for being really good flirts. Something for which any male visitor to their show will vouch. Who could be more natural to be put on the radio than the two of us? This is your quote, anyway. Yeah. This is Lori's quote. You can tell when Lori has a quote and why I do. I'm modest. And
I'm quoted a lot.
Lori did. Yeah. And I wouldn't even talk because you would be mad at me.
Because you would always say something
so understated. Understated.
Yeah,
so
it was a waste of opportunity.
So here's a quote from Lori. And I knew that. So I would freak out. Even when my Aunt Marlene died, I was worried I wasn't going to give the right quote to the Star Tribune. I mean, it's my aunt. Okay, and here's Lori's quote. Who could be more natural to be put on radio than the two of us?
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
We're smart. We know what we're doing. We work hard, and we did make the whole world talk about nipples.
It's true.
And then here's me. Yeah. You know, the thing is, we're interesting.
Oh, geez.
See? Interested in a lot of things. I've always been curious. Lori reads and she gets answers to her curiosity faster than I do. So basically, we just want to know.
Yeah,
things.
My answer was 1,000 times better.
Of course it was.
My God.
Of course.
The audience was drifting away with that quote.
Oh, God. How we got under the skin of their competitors, billboards, magazine covers, and gossip. All too much.
Yeah, the person who got it right away was Brian Lambert, too. Mm-hmm. He wrote about us right away. He's like, I've never heard anything like it.
Jane Haugen Olsen, I feel like, wrote. Jane was on
it
since
right
day
away.
One.
Yeah.
I think you guys bonded over Prince.
Probably.
But, I mean, Jane with Minneapolis St. Paul magazine, they really...
We have been on the air a long time.
I know we have. I just love reading these funny, funny reviews of us. They're very.
I have no doubt that people were gossiping other program managers and stuff. Like,
what are they doing?
What are they doing over there?
And why are they always on TV or in the newspaper or in magazines?
But then, you know, they would listen to us or watch us or read us and they would understand.
No, I think they would still say, what are they doing? Because men didn't get it. You know that.
Well, no.
Initially.
No, they're always slower to catch on.
Okay, can I give you one more?
Yeah.
No. Oh, Lori and Julia, this is a lovely note from Jane, who wrote us the most beautiful card. All of you listeners, we can't thank you enough for the love. What can I say that you haven't heard a million times already? I'm happy for you, but sad for me. I feel like I've gotten to know you over the years, mostly because you're authentic. You are relatable because you talk to each other like good friends talk to each other. You celebrated the good stuff, adapted to the challenges, and you took us with you on your journey. You're funny. Even your commercials are entertaining, and I've gotten ideas from listening to them, from mortgage companies to furniture companies to everything else in between. I know you get paid to advertise their services, but it seems that you really believe in what you say.
It's true.
We do. I don't know who's calling me. I've attended my talk events. I've sat in the sweltering heat in your state fair audience. I've enjoyed your Project Down and Dirty fundraisers. I played pickleball at Lucky Shots. I wish I could have been there the time to see you win in person.
Yes.
Like so many women, my spirits have been lifted listening to you on the radio after a bad day at work. Hmm. When I was told that my job had been eliminated For weeks, I started my commute home crying, but by the time I got home, I was smiling. Laughing with you was always so helpful. And I think you two gave me more the courage to put myself out there. Be more confident, but not take myself too seriously. Just a warning, retirement can be so busy. Julia, you'll have more time to finish those books. And Lori, you can fart around more.
Yes.
But you'll be surprised at how quickly the days fill up. My goal during retirement has been to be busy. Do good things for myself, but not forget to do good things for others. Savor each day for what it brings. Make each day count and enjoy the rest of your journey. Remember that you have enriched the lives of so many people along the way. Congratulations. You'll be missed, a longtime listener.
What a nice
beautiful
card. Yeah. Jeez Louise.
But we have so lovely many of them.
That I mean, I know.
It's just, it really, I guess.
We didn't know.
It feels really nice. Mm-hmm. It does feel nice to know. I think we mattered more than we ever gave ourselves credit to. And I think we entertained. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
But anyway, I just thought that was lovely. And I just loved the articles at the beginning about working our way under the skin of people. I mean,
that's
so great. Seriously.
That's awesome. That's an honor.
I know.
You
all
guys
right
did an you've done and an I amazing
think
job.
I think Ginny got a lot of crap.
Oh,
like,
for
what
sure
are you doing?
Because
we switched.
Sure,
what are you doing with those? Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah, they sound so dumb. The voices, this, that.
The Hubbards believed in us.
Yeah.
Big time,
yeah,
which was really beautiful. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got some couch time happening with the lovely Anne Hathaway, whose movie is getting a huge thumbs up.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Anne and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So it was a triple dipple lady night on the talk shows.
It was
they were all
so
out.
Good. Yeah, Gene Smart doing impressions on Stephen Colbert,
hysterical,
of Woody Woodpecker,
hysterical,
and Dame Maggie Smith. Anne Hathaway and Melanie Lynskey both on with Jimmy Fallon. And Anne Hathaway, her movie drops on Prime. I'm very excited about this movie. It's called The Idea of You.
Yeah.
And it drops on Prime on Thursday. And Graham posted the red carpet. First of all, she's wearing a drop-dead va-va-voom,
yeah,
strapless red, Versace.
The beauty red dress. It was
dress.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Yeah. And I took a sneak peek at an early review from a trusted source. Anne Hathaway, I guess, is amazing in this, and her co-star, because she plays a woman who this boy band pop star falls in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she meets him. She and her daughter are at Coachella. And I guess this guy, Nicholas, really sells the boy band pop star. Like, he's like the Harry Styles of the group, but
right,
the group he studied, and that he's so believable. BTS.
Oh, there you go.
So anyway, it's getting like we're going to go crazy about this movie. The chemistry is off the charts.
It comes out, what, Friday?
Thursday.
And it on Rotten Tomatoes, just with critics, is 90%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And apparently that was one of the things, because The Idea of You was a book. And one of the things in the book that didn't come across was the pop star boy band guy didn't pop in the book.
I gotta see
the way
cover.
He pops in this movie. So let's listen to a little Anne Hathaway on The Tonight Show.
When he was auditioning, you go, oh, this is the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, as soon as I actually burst out laughing when he walked in because, has anybody here read the book?
No, we don't read.
Not one person.
Well, you should.
We don't read. This is The Tonight Show. Yeah, you want to go. You want to go over to Stephen. You want to go to Stephen Colbert if you want to get people to read books. Lame.
Well, you have an awesome book in store for you. It's written.
Lame-o. We do Audible here. We do that. We can do that count.
I think it's time for you to date me to get me back.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so.
It's based on this book.
What's a book?
Yeah. Too late. But this is based on the big best-selling book.
Okay, well, the book does have a fan following somewhere. And anyway, and I think the book's incredible. And Hayes Campbell is so beautifully written in the book. And so we knew that we just really needed
to.
He walked in. And I just thought, oh, that's Hayes Campbell. And that was almost 2 years ago. And now Nick and I have become really good friends. And it's opened up in this beautiful way.
And he's 25, and the name of the band is August Moon. So this has kind of a Daisy Jones and the Six feel to it. And I guess it is Anne Hathaway as Celine is like, she's just playing this regular woman, but this regular woman was a teenage mom. So she was like 18 when she had her daughter. So she's at Coachella together, but the mom is like 40. She's done everything out of order.
I know him. He was in Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Yes.
Did anyone ever watch that?
Yes, we watched that way long ago.
Okay, because it was, okay, just that you watched
but I
it.
Didn't, right. I didn't recognize him.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Yeah, he is. So I guess he's very believable as the Harry Styles of August Moon, the
group.
Got
it. All right.
And he falls crazy in love with her. Anyway.
She's cute.
We're going to want to watch this.
We are.
Yeah. And it's on Prime.
I know. So, all right. So that's coming out.
So that's coming up. And then Melanie Lynskey, who she was on this great show Together. She's Yellow Jackets, The Last of Us. She was in just a couple episodes, her character, but she's married to John Ritter. Mm-hmm. Her first movie, she played she and Kate Winslet. It was something about these two girls at a school. She's been acting since she was like 16.
Yes, yes.
A fellow Aussie of Nicole Kidman, if you will.
Yeah. And I started laughing because I know your husband.
Yes, and I'm married.
Yeah, you're married. Yeah. And I go, well, that's interesting because
I have a lovely new engagement ring.
Yeah, I go, it's gorgeous. But
thank you.
Just tell me exactly what you meant by that.
So here's the thing. My husband's first proposal was so confusing. I didn't know what was happening. We were on the day before, I had been looking at rings and I tried one. And I was like, oh, it kind of looks like an engagement ring almost. I don't think I'm going to get it. So then he got me this ring. So I was like, oh, thanks. It didn't sort of cross my mind. And then there was this strange speech. And we were just sort of sitting there. He had paused whatever, The Bachelor. And I was just sort of like, oh, okay. And I was like, we're not breaking up. He was like, no. So I said, okay. And then I was like, well, thank you. Lovely, good chat. And then 3 days later, we went to meet his family for Christmas, and he said, we're engaged.
Oh, that's funny.
I know. So anyway, she's so
lovely,
cute.
And she said, you know, he's kind of taking a back seat and letting her act now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of really sweet. They always have seemed sweet, and she's just so lovely.
Oh, she's such a good actor. She's good in everything she does.
She really is. Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Lori and Julia here for Minneapolis Plastic Surgery. And just today, someone came in and and made a funny comment, you know, like, my mom is thinking of having a breast reduction. And it just made me think that it doesn't matter what your age is, you know, when you're thinking of different things. And if your breasts bother you, maybe you have a different active lifestyle and you're just kind of sick of them and kind of think, can I do something finally? It's one of the most satisfying surgeries that people will ever have, because if you've ever been a big-breasted person, which there aren't as many of us as you think, I know I have, the breast reduction was the best thing that I ever did for myself. And Minneapolis Plastic Surgery is so great. Dr. Jarvis, Dr. Tholen, Dr. Singh, go in for your consultation. It doesn't cost any money, but boy, you get all your questions answered. Look at pictures, understand what's going to happen. They're great there. Go to mpsmn.com for more information.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Ah. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are absolutely delighted. I feel like I know Monet Sable. I've said your names 900 times in the past, you know, 3 months. I've seen beautiful. We've seen beautiful. So you're in studio. You play Carole King. And we also have John Jameson the second with us. And you are one of the drifters and a scene stealer.
Yeah.
Scene stealing at the same time. So welcome. Thanks. Beautiful is, of course, at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater, and it is going through September.
Yes.
So we saw you on opening night.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Thank you.
So tell us what's happened since then. How's it going?
Whoa. It's kind of unfathomable how long this run is, you know? Right. Like, I still can't imagine that we're going to the end of September, but, like, God, it's been so great. I mean, the audiences have just been amazing. Yeah. Almost every night we've been sold out, or at least almost sold, and they're so responsive, and we get to meet them out in the lobby sometimes after the show, and everyone's so moved by this music, and
it's everything. It's everything. I mean, and I'm looking at you. You just look like you stepped out of 1974 California Malibu. Yeah. You do, Monet. You look fantastic.
It's in my bones now.
I see it. So, you know, and John, are you local? Because I saw that you've been in a lot of Twin Cities productions.
Yes, yep, okay. I'm local.
So this is your first big show, I understand.
No. Oh, this is my first show with Chanhassen.
Oh, that's what I read wrong. Okay.
Yeah, this is my first show with Chanhassen Dinner Theater.
And how's that been for you?
It's been fun. Mm-hmm. It's a nice long contract.
Yeah.
We're happy about that.
And you're I mean, of course, the music, you know, the part that you play. I mean, you're, as Carole King, you're just so believable. Of course, you do go from 16 to 30 or whatever age it is. And you're very believable at every age.
Well, thanks.
And John, every time you open your mouth to sing a song, you transform. I mean, name drop a couple of the songs you do.
Oh, we do Some Kind of Wonderful. Yes. We do On Broadway, which is a very, 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 very fun song to do. And then Up on the Roof.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
So good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And you kind of mentioned, John, that this is great because it's a long contract.
Yeah.
Because that is something about Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. Like, you signed up, Monet, to move to Minnesota.
Yeah, I did. And
is it a 6-month period of time?
I think when it's all said and done, it's 7 or 8 months. Mm-hmm. We started rehearsal at beginning of February, and I'm not going to leave until the end of September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you're going to experience really fun summer here.
I'm really excited. Yeah, yes.
So how do you keep it fresh every night? Because honestly, your energy, the energy that the audience feels from you, we're coming back again in 2 weeks, I think.
Yes.
People I know are seeing it 2 and 3 times.
Yes. Yes.
How do you guys keep that energy and excitement up doing a show that many times?
Firstly, I love this material so much. You know, I love the songs that we're singing, and I think that helps to be excited to go to work every day. But I also know, I've been talking about this a lot with like Shad, who plays Jerry Goffin, And sometimes we can get stuck in routines when you're doing everything eight times a week and doing the same show every night. And it's like, oh, wow, how will I ever survive or make this fresh again? But like, I think it then gives us opportunity to play within the structure and to really like honor where I am every day and like look Shad in the eye and be like, today I kind of had a bummer of a day, but like, I'm going to do my best and like be here with you. And like, maybe my energy is going to be lower, but then it's going to grow. And like, it is just different every day because I'm different every day. And I'm sure that it's imperceptible to the audience, but it makes me feel alive to be
that.
So present.
Yes, that's it, being present.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at Lori.
I said to these two, we've been doing a Broadway show for 22 years.
You literally have.
And we're like the longest running show like cats.
I know.
We are. And I'm like listening to you or the Phantom of the Opera, listening to you like asking you, how do you keep up every day? And I'm thinking,
like, well, how do you keep up every day?
Right? I know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. But, you know, one of the early reviews that we read, and it might have been Ronan Preston from the Star Tribune, talked about how, you know, because Lori saw this when it came through in Broadway. I don't need 2016
or something. Did I see you then? Were you in that one?
I was just on the last year of the tour, and we didn't come to Minneapolis.
You didn't come to Minneapolis.
So was it like 2016, 2017
something
or something?
Something like that.
And everybody, and my husband saw it then too, and he said, everything is so much better.
Oh,
at the Chan.
You hear that?
I mean, so from the way the staging works, it's different because you're more permanent and it's more of a permanent space. Does that help you?
Oh,
or is it more fun?
It is. I mean, the traveling of tour is quite exhausting and very fun. And I did love it in some sick way. I just was obsessed with moving around and like seeing all of America. Yeah. But it is so much more relaxing just to be in one place and get to know one place. And like, I really am trying to go out and see things and take bike rides and eat nice lunches and like see it all. Whereas on tour, we were only in every place a week. And so we're like constantly kind of carting in and
packing,
out.
Packing, unpacking.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I love it. And John, now, because you were at Children's Theater, you've done some other productions around the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. What is your first experience at the Chan like?
It's enjoyable. You know, I think the one thing that's unique about Chan is that we are there for 8 months. Mm-hmm. So we get some very deep, intimate relationships with the people around us that, you know, influence the storytelling.
I love what you wear, too. All the characters, the costume is amazing.
Carol, I would have redone you back in the day a little bit.
Thank you.
Because you're dressed very Carol-y.
She's a girl from Brooklyn.
She is.
In the 50s.
And then the contrast of like the fun 70s stuff in Act 2 is more effective.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
But for you, you know, Lori's said it, you do, you're a shining star.
Thank you.
I mean, when you were singing, it's just so fun. So the first part,
we're just like, oh my God, who's that?
I know, me too.
I feel like people should know what it's about, but the first part of Beautiful, the Carole King musical is really Carol yourself, Monet, as a young woman, writing all these epic songs for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of move to California and find your own voice.
Yes.
It's just so good. I
think John Breen said it best, because I liken this show to being as good as Jersey Boys, and he said it is, but it's Brooklyn Girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really, just in the story, the book, the music, it has that good, that flow, which makes
And I've had women in the audience say to me after the show, because I start out quite insecure and I am not writing for myself. I'm writing for other artists and I'm like insecure in my relationship and my marriage. And then, you know, when Carol grows to sing Tapestry and sing her own songs, it's like mimicking her confidence and finding her own voice. And I've had women in the audience say, like, we're so self-deprecating and we're so insecure. And like to watch you start out that way, we were like, oh, we get you, girl. And then you grew your own confidence, stood up for yourself and like flourish. And they're like, we're so inspired and we want to be more confident and we want to do that. And I was like, oh my God, like, what a thing to say. I mean, it's like people really, really relate to Carol in a way that I haven't really seen in other shows that I've done. Like this feels like so special because everybody loves her music too. And they can really relate.
It's
really
moving. And they probably didn't know her story, chances are. So they have no idea, right? That she's written for all these
other people.
And composed music and prodigy.
We had Dan Wilson, and he's part of a couple local bands, Semisonic, but he co-writes music with Chris Stapleton.
Oh, yeah.
The Chicks.
The Chicks. Okay. Yeah, I'm not ready to make nice. He co-wrote, but he's a big
Adele.
Deal. So he's in studio, and he's from here. This may be about 3 weeks ago or something, And he, his very second person he got to write music with, he said he grew up, Tapestry was the theme song to his life. All they played was Tapestry in his house. And so he got to write a song with Carole King, and he just said it was just amazing. But Tapestry, that album, if you're a certain age, was
or
all,
your mom or your mom, aunt or
you know,
in
that
your
was
family
all
played it.
We were you familiar, you know, John, with Carole's music before you got the role?
Yeah, not all of it, you know, but for sure, like Natural Woman.
Yeah.
You know, like Natural Woman, I'm trying to think, It's Too Late.
Yeah. Yes.
Was one as well. Of course, I knew On Broadway, but that's Cynthia.
Yeah.
You know, and.
And I love those two characters too in the show.
Yes.
Hysterical.
Cynthia,
oh my God. And her husband.
And we need that like little comic relief, you know, and like the friendly competition of the friends. It's. I love
hysterical.
It.
Hysterical. How's Michael doing as director and Kat?
Good. Oh, they were great.
Do they get in there on a regular time and tweak things, or is it kind of when you start, you're kind of in it?
It's kind of set now. Yeah. We are actually going to have a brush-up rehearsal, I think, next week or something. I think because it's such a long run, I'm happy about that, just to we can kind of freshen it up
absolutely.
And clean it up, you know, because I think I've certainly drifted a little from where we started, just because you were just people doing our best. But that was really amazing to watch the family dynamic and, like, how they work together. And I thought they did a really wonderful job of, like, navigating their personal relationship and their professional and creating this fabulous show, which I'm happy to do every
they're
day.
So lovely.
How about, okay, each, I want you both to tell me what your favorite moment for you as a performer is in the show. I'll start with you, John.
What's my favorite
moment?
Performing, or do I like watching?
What's your favorite moment in the show?
My favorite moment is the Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow moment. I think that song, just like, it's when she grabs the lyrics off, you know, off of Jerry on the Couch. And then plays it on the piano. She sings the entire song. And then it transitions into when they're in the office of Donnie. And then they move and they offer it to the Shirelles. And the Shirelles sing it. And then towards the end of the show, she also sings it again right before telling her mother some news. So that the lyrics in there, the song is just the way it's like structured and creatively like expressed is beautiful. That's my favorite.
Yeah. That's a good one. How about you, Moni? What song do you like to sing the most?
I
know you like them all.
I know. I really love Natural Woman. And I was just thinking, having you sitting here, John is on stage during Natural Woman. And, you know, you've been so kind with such sweet compliments to me. But I really feel like my buddy's there. And I'm so supported by my friend who I think, you know, has an incredible instrument. So I'm very honored to even have a compliment from John Jameson.
The moments in that song that she does is so fantastic.
Like, looking out. Yeah. It doesn't start looking out.
On the morning rain.
Let's just sing one verse.
You want to sing with me?
Yeah, I will.
Okay,
because now I know how it goes. Okay, John, come on. Come on. All right, here we go.
One, two, three. Looking out on the morning rain. We nailed it.
That was the only part I trusted myself to do.
I don't want to ruin your voice, but I can't stress enough to people, and this show is everything. It really is. And I hope everyone gets a chance to see it. Because sometimes you wait and think, oh, I've got till September. I've got till the end of September. But it goes so quick. You know that, and we just are so touched. And I think the people that have seen it just have such a wonderful experience. Like, they want to go back again. So thank you so much for what you do. And I just want people to go to visit chanhassendt.com. Get your tickets so you can go when you want to go. And it's for everybody.
It really is. It really is. I mean, it's the perfect show, I think, for the Chan audiences, because everybody grew up with this music. Yeah. But also, I've been meeting a lot of moms who bring their daughters or their sons or their, you know, and just to have like the next generation of maybe potential singer-songwriters or lovers of good music.
Yeah.
And I think that I said this to some people outside in the lobby the other night, but like, you know, we all love like the Taylor Swifts and like the Maggie Rogers and like our contemporary singer-songwriters, but they all, like, whether they know it or not, were influenced by Carole King, for sure. Like, without a doubt.
Right.
She was the first one that we had, you know, in the mainstream. So I think that's important, too, to remember, like, where the stuff we love now came from. And I think this is, like, a perfect show to watch and learn and get a little history.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so it is. True. In the setting, you know, you go and have a lovely meal and you're sitting in this, historic place. It's so fun to be, you know, able to do that. You don't get to do that anywhere.
I know. No,
you
don't. It's like quite nostalgic in a way, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to go have a prime rib and a glass of red wine and watch a musical. Like, what a dream.
I know.
The student matinees are just so much energy. Those kids love it.
Do they just, how fun.
Much. They're hooping and hollering and screaming everything. Really? The energy is so reciprocal when you're on stage. Mm. It's just like, oh my gosh, you know, it's wonderful.
And the stage is right there. I mean, people are right there. I know we have to go.
Oh.
Okay, time's up. I just got time in my headset. Yeah. Thank you, Monet. Thank you, John. Jameson the second. Monet Sable, you guys are the best. Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Take a break and get right back.
Thank you.
Lori and Julia here for the Chan Acid Dinner Theater. We were just talking to the lead, Monet Sable, who plays Carole King, and John, who's one of the Drifters. So fantastic to hear from them.
It is the best show.
What a great show it is. It really and how is. Much fun they're having.
And make sure that you look online right now and get your tickets, because it is selling out. It is here through the end of September. And it is just a show you're going to want to go back again, and you're probably going to want to take different people or something, because we just can't rave enough about what a special place it is and what a special place Chan Hassan Dinner Theater is to go and experience the old supper club feel. You get to park right there. You don't have to be stressed about anything.
The food is amazing.
We love it, love it. Visit chanhassandt.com for your tickets. Remember, Chan Hassan Dinner Theater is always entertaining you.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
You know what? We have made so many wonderful friends.
Yeah, that was amazing.
We have been on the air. It is just Chris Holland at the Chan Hassan Dinner Theater does an amazing job, and we've been so lucky to work with her all these years, you people.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
We get teary-eyed every once in a while.
I know it.
She was in here just tearing up, too, a little bit, but I just want to mention, I was talking to her during some of your interview, but we did post to the Lori and Julia show page. It's a link to the Chan Hassan Dinner Theater's page. It's got videos on it. It's got event information, dates, tickets, all the above, so make sure you check it out.
I've hounded people about getting their tickets.
Same.
Personal friends that I'm like, have you gotten your tickets yet?
You don't want to miss this one.
I'm going to go. I'm like, well, don't sit around because shows are selling out right now.
I know. They really are. And we're going back with our Bids for Kids crew.
Yes, we are.
In a couple weeks.
That'll be fun.
I'm
taking my mom. Because it's still September.
Perfect.
Once I'm done with my move.
Yeah.
And I get some free time in the fall.
Yeah.
Definitely taking my mom for sure.
It's so good. Great. She'll die. She'll love it.
She'll love it. All right. I have got to have a word with TMZ.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Well, let's see. Did you call him, Grant?
No. There's no need. There's no need. But I am so annoyed with TMZ and their coverage of Britney Spears. The way they are clutching, Harvey Levin and the crew are clutching their pearls. Their reporting and their aggressive paparazzi moves are part of the reason why Britney's dad got into a conservatorship. Yeah. They had some doctor weigh in. TMZ investigates Britney Spears. She's being erratic. She's doing whatever she wants to do. She had 13 years of, you know, her being on an allowance, being forced to perform. I mean, think about that. I don't know why Harvey doesn't read her book, but she's a multimillionaire. If she wants to spend her money on vacations, private planes, dance, and do whatever she likes to do on Instagram, that is her right.
Her prerogative.
That's mm-hmm. right. She had to ask permission to buy things. It was an open secret in the touring world and in Las Vegas that she was kept comfortably numb so her dad sure. could boss her around. And I think a lot of these sources that TMZ gets, they're made up. They go to not great people, you know, like reputable, like just weighing in. Like, who cares, TMZ? Why? Who do they? I'll tell you who they're in bed with. Lou, Phil, whatever her name is, Lou.
Lou, the lady.
Lou Taylor.
Okay, Lou Taylor.
Yes.
And Lou Taylor is very tight with the Kardashians. So I did notice that People Magazine and Us Weekly had pro-Britney things. Like, she's not in danger of running out of her mind. I mean, she will never get justice for what happened to
that's
her.
That's what we just learned again.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. But I just like, you know, like Addison Rae, who's a TikToker or whatever. Mm-hmm. She was on a beach vacation with a hat on her head, laying down and had two Pepsi cans over her boobs. Mm-hmm. Like that. I mean, if Britney was doing that, TMZ would the next night. Why Britney needs a conservatorship. Mm-hmm. They are so Judge Judy.
I agree.
Over there. I just am. It just makes me mad. Some of these. Oh, Brittany, what's going on?
I think the conservatorship was wrong.
Listen, read Brittany's book and then come back and talk to me. That's what I say to anybody.
All right. Even, I wish they were listening.
Even Entertainment Tonight had a story like, you know, she is far from going broke. Mm-hmm. Nobody is concerned. She just, I mean, think about it. She had to perform in Vegas for almost 6 years with like 6 weeks off.
Yeah. A lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's just, a lot.
I want them to leave her alone.
All right.
And when her family was stealing her money, they didn't have a damn thing to say. You know? Now they're suddenly concerned. I take your concern and shove it right up your arse. Yeah.
Lori's just throwing punches over here.
Yeah. No, I'm just so... I'm truly astonished because there was so much irresponsible... media coverage.
But I'm
going to
tell you, there's been so much irresponsible media coverage in so many places.
Oh, yes, of course.
But I agree with you there, Julie.
Yeah, of course.
And I agree, though, that TMZ has had a thing for her forever. Uh-huh.
Yeah, how many times?
And again,
the paparazzi, did they always have on her ass?
It's clickbait right now. Come on, people, the quicker, the more salacious the headline, the faster people look at it.
But people believe it. I mean, you sometimes come in and you go, I'm wondering if I'm worried about Britney. And I'm like, stop reading TMZ.
Here's my worry.
What?
I just hope that she has friends.
She has friends. Right. She's living her life.
Yes, she is.
Okay,
yes,
she is living her life.
All right.
Part of the thing you'd have to find out after being in conservatorship, mm-hmm. who the hell are your real friends?
100%.
Because your family wasn't your friend. You
Sam probably wasn't, now looking back.
Well, the dad hired him. She doesn't, you know, when you read Britney's book, she's very...
I wish I saw more posts with her friends, that's all.
Yeah.
Thank you, Grant.
But why should she? Why should she have to do that? Why should her friends have... Because they're going to be targeted.
This is going to be done. All right, fair.
They're going to be targeted. How's Britney doing? You know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, it's kind of like if someone, you know, invites you to go and do something. Well, all these ladies are Lori and Julia fans. They can't wait to see you. And you're like, maybe can I just come as a private person? Do you know what I'm saying?
I love that you just likened us to Britney Spears. It doesn't stop with you, Madison.
But I'm just saying.
You have made your point. I get it. Yeah. I get it. You've made your point.
I mean, don't you agree, though, that it just is kind of like...
I don't know why we have to keep pushing... Why? Leave her alone.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you mean. Leave her alone.
Isn't that the original thing? Leave Britney alone.
Yeah, just like that one kid. Just leave her alone.
Yeah.
She is just living her life.
There we go. All right, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.